You are listening to the podcast of C3 The Hague. We are a church with one service, two talks, one English and one Dutch. We hope this talk inspires you.
Ephesians 5 verse 31, and we've been talking about the context of this text in the past couple of weeks. And it says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." So that's basically what we're doing. So let's pray. Father, we thank you right now for this moment together. We thank you for your heart. I pray that this talk will communicate your hope, your love, your vision for people. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And we thank you that your love will touch our hearts this morning in this message, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let's first of all talk about different perspectives about sex. So there's different perspectives about what sex really is. And one of the perspectives is sex used to be a taboo, but now currently it is nothing more than a natural desire, a natural way of fulfilling your desires. It's basically not different than eating. Sex is like you have an appetite, you need to fulfill your appetite. It's a basic human need, yeah. So it's a physical need, but it's nothing more than physical. It's just physical. That's it. And often it's said because it's like food. You know, you have to develop your flavors. You have to know what you like, so you can experiment and everything, and just figure out what you like. And so that's one common way of thinking about it. It used to be dirty, but now currently it's more nothing more. It's just a human need, but it's also nothing more than that. It's not spiritual, it's just physical. And also, the thought is like it's unhealthy to suppress your physical need, or even impossible to do so. It's not even possible to manage that. Another way of thinking about sex is dirty, dark, and it's a necessary evil. And oftentimes people think that the church, that the Bible teaches this, that sex is not great. And it was said, I was just speaking to a friend this week who has a Christian, who has a couple, good friends of him, are a married couple. And he mentioned that they were raised as Christian and everything. And that they said to him that even in marriage, they feel guilty about having sex. And I think that's a sad reality sometimes, that when you see sex as dirty and dark, it's actually not going to be really good for you. The other way of thinking is, and that's quite common as well, is sex is a critical form of self-expression. Self is not just a need, but it is a critical way of expressing myself. So maybe the thinking goes, maybe you want to use sex to procreate within the context of marriage, but you know what? Sex is so essential that you find your personal expression, that you know, this is unique to you. So figure out who you are, and sex is a means of finding yourself that is critical to every person. So that's a way of thinking. Well, let's talk about God's perspective on sex. And so often I said it. Often people think it's the second or even the first, that sex is just physical. I would say that. That sex is really meant, and I also borrow this term from Tim Keller, who says sex is meant for whole life self-giving, whole life self-giving. And he says the healthy context for sex is the Christian marriage. He says, and the Christian marriage is an exclusive covenant between a man and a woman in the presence of God. And so sex is for giving. And see, our self, and every person has a sinful nature in essence. We're born with a sinful nature. And so our sinful nature wants to make it more about taking than about giving. But really, sex is a way of giving your whole self to somebody else. Now, let me just say this, that Tim Keller says is very interesting. He says, you know, sometimes we think that God says that sex is meant for the context of marriage because God doesn't think very highly of sex. Tim Keller says the following. He says, and I got it for you on the screen. He says, "The Bible doesn't promote abstinence from sex because it has such a low view of sex, but because it has such a lofty one." See, God actually has designed sex to be a great thing. And it's not a small thing. It's essential. And it's an important aspect in our life, which is why we need to talk about it in church. Now, let me say something else, which is important. There can easily be a difference between state marriage and Christian marriage. Very easily. So the mission of the Bible is never for the church to enforce its views on society. That's not the mission of Christianity. We're not supposed to enforce our moral views on society at all. And so there can be very easily a difference between state marriage and Christian marriage. C.S. Lewis wrote about 70 years ago, he wrote the following. He says, and I've got it for you on the screen as well. He says, a great many people seem to think that if you are a Christian yourself, you should try to make divorce difficult for everyone. He says, I do not think that. At least I know that I should be very angry if the Mohammedans, or if Islam faith, that's a more modern way of saying it, if Muslims would try to prevent the rest of us from drinking wine. Think about it, you know, like if Muslims would say, you know what, we're abstaining from alcohol, everybody needs to be abstaining from alcohol, and we should make that a law. He says, you know what, I don't think just because I have a moral view on something, we need to make it a law. And I think that's an important aspect, that there can be a difference between Christian marriage and state marriage. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 12 is a verse that you don't hear very often in church, but it's so fascinating because Paul talks about quite a graphic sexual situation that is happening within the church. I will spare you the details, but it's a really, really good reason to read 1 Corinthians just to figure out what that was. But it was quite a shocking reality, which, by the way, is interesting because we sometimes think that our modern society is a lot more free and that the society in which the Bible was written was more prudish, right? And so we think, oh, that's just for back in those days. But when you hear about sexuality in the times that Jesus lived, you will be shocked, literally shocked, about the liberal views about sex. And so it's not so much the case that sex is a lot more free and maybe more emancipated, but definitely not more liberal than it was in Bible times. If you see some examples, the Bible, there's many examples of rape, orgies, you know, all kinds of examples, prostitution. It's absolutely not something that was foreign to Bible times, which I think is interesting, right? And so Paul then says, he says, for what have I to do with judging those who are outside? He means outside of the church. Actually, more specifically, he says people who have not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. He says, what have I to do with judging people who are outside? You got to think about it because it's interesting, because he talks about the context of sexual behavior. He says, it is not my job as a pastor and it's not my job as a Christian to judge people who are not Christians. Think about that for a moment. He says, that is not our job. He says, do you not judge those who are inside, but those who are outside are God's judges, or God judges? And let me just say this. God will judge differently than oftentimes we think. As a matter of fact, God will not, there's no biblical argument to say that God will judge people before their sexuality at all. Like there's not any physical or biblical evidence that sexuality will judge people. As a matter of fact, let me we can talk about it after the meeting. That's fine. And I understand it's a smaller setting, so I get it. But for example, then he talks about. Something more specific. But see, God's salvation, let me just put it this way, God's salvation doesn't take place through sexual abstinence. But God's salvation will take place through faith in Jesus. That is the only way somebody will get saved. So just by saying, hey, you need to stop having sex or this way or that way, it's not a path to salvation. And that is an important reality, that just sexuality alone will never judge anybody. And so I think we might be surprised at the way that God will judge. But let me just say this. God will judge. But then he does say, you know what, but having sort of like a truth and a reality within the church, there's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't mean that we will enforce our views on society, but it does mean that that we are able to have our own opinion about what marriage is and what sexuality is. So just because society has a view on marriage and sex doesn't mean that I have to be enforced to think that way. And it's very fascinating sometimes that liberal thinking means that you adopt liberal thinking, which, you know, I agree with a lot of liberal thinking, which is freedom of speech and freedom of opinion and freedom of religion and all that. But I do not agree if you want to dictate to me what my Christianity should say about marriage. Now, I do agree that other people should be free to express marriage in a different way, but it doesn't mean that I have to change my views. But isn't it interesting? Like, just abstaining from sex doesn't get anybody saved. As a matter of fact, just abstaining from any form of sin will never get anybody saved, because people are born in a state of sin. And so everybody needs a savior. Let me also say this. Every person, the Bible says that we all fall short of the glory of God. Every person has sinned, and we all fall short of the glory of God. So sometimes I find some people want to take one sin and want to say, oh, if you have done this, you're not in the club. But then, you know, if you want to make a blanket statement about one sin about everybody else, then let's also have a conversation about your sin. Especially if you want to say it to a person, like, you're not saved. Well, you know what? Because of what? Well, because you've sinned. Well, every person has fallen short of the glory of God. Every person has sinned. And so entrance to salvation is through Jesus Christ. So the conversation that we should have with people outside of the church is not a conversation about sex. The conversation we should have with people outside of the church, outside of Christian faith, is a conversation about who is Jesus. And I said in the earlier service that maybe we should make a declaration, a Nashville declaration about Jesus. Who is Jesus? What did he stand for? How did he relate to prostitutes? How did he relate to people who are marginalized? And I think it's interesting to think about it, because Jesus is the way to salvation and not sexual abstinence, not morality, and all that. Okay, so that's the first thought I wanted to share with you. There can be a difference between straight marriage and Christian marriage. Second thought is, is the thinking in our society around sexuality, is that very healthy? Jesus said you can recognize a tree by its fruit. So let's think about the fruit in our society. And C.S. Lewis, he gave us this portrait. He says, just think about it. If you, as a foreigner, you would go into a culture. And he says, in a book, Mere Christianity, which is a really good book, he says, just think about it, that you would walk into a society, a foreign society, in which everything is being advertised in combination with food. So, for example, there's a motorcycle show, and every new motorcycle will have like a strip of bacon on top of it. You see a financial product being advertised, and you see like a, for a random reason that's not explained to us, we see like a big steak on the background. What's the steak doing there? Well, you know, I don't know. C.S. Lewis goes even further. He says, think about a society where people would pay to see other people eat. They'll go like to a show or pay for movies, online services where you see people eating. It's very fascinating. And then he says, you would think that people in our society will be obsessed and fixated with food. And it's the same, obviously, it's the same with sex. See, sex is important, but it is not it's not as important as oftentimes is being made, right? And so the fruit of our society, of our societal thinking around sexuality, is not that great. One out of four children, research tells us, is dealing with some form of sexual abuse or sexual overschrijdend gedrag. Sexual lines, moral lines being crossed. That's 25%, and that's just normally functioning children. Children with disabilities, it goes through the roof. It's nuts. But just healthy kids, 1 out of 4. Obviously, the question can be asked quite quickly, what about the church? Fair question, I think, personally. Well, one of the things that is very important is that Paul, and I've got this for you in 1 Timothy 4. In 1 Timothy 4, Paul says that there will be a day, he says, that people will not heed correct doctrine and everything. And then he says they will be forbidding to marry. And he says, and he calls forbidding to marry, he calls it a doctrine of demons. And I think it's very interesting because obviously, particularly some churches have said that priests cannot marry. And Paul says here, look, the Bible speaks about abstinence from marriage as an unhealthy thing. Like to forbid it. If people have personal convictions, it's a bit different. But for people to say, you cannot marry. And so obviously a lot of fruit from that thinking is also really false and really wrong. And so it's just interesting to think about what is our society's view and what are the fruits around sexuality? Because, you know, free love has somewhat been a failed experiment, I would say. And it has not really been that good. And you know, magazines and even sometimes some forms of scientists, although I fully believe in science, but not in every research that's being done. But sometimes pornography is being advertised as a way to spice up your marriage or your relationship. And you know what, because it's like romantic and stuff. But you know, there's nothing as unromantic as a pornography addiction. Like that's extremely unpersonal. It's very much an objectification of another person, and it's not going to be helpful. So what is the fruit? Okay, so that's sort of the backdrop. But now I want to move into a slightly more positive tone about the purpose of sex, because the purpose of sex is for mutual connection. Sex is really more relational than you think. When you read the Bible and you read about becoming one flesh, people often think it's like that's the physical union, becoming one flesh. It's just merely physical, nothing more and nothing less. However, the Bible speaks in Acts 2:17 where it says the Holy Spirit will fall on all flesh. So flesh is not so much just your physical body, but it's your person. It's very interesting. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul talks about prostitution. And he says, do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot, which is a word for a prostitute, is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. And he basically says, like, when you are... When you have sex with somebody else, you become one body, one person, or one body with her. But you need to realize that at the moment that you become one body, you actually unify. And so it's way more than just a physical union. It is a spiritual and emotional. It is a union of people, and it is meant to bring us closer. It is meant to create intimacy. It is meant to create love. And so it is possible to disconnect. To disconnect emotional and somewhat spiritually from a sexual experience, but I would argue that it wouldn't be healthy for you. So I would say that there is definitely a way that you can harden yourself, but oftentimes that is meant to protect ourselves. And it's really interesting because we sometimes think or are being told that it's just a physical thing, but you know, many people would say from their first sexual experiences, it is very much a unifying experience. And the moment that relationship breaks, you feel like you lose a part of yourself. And the more that happens, the less you actually get connected, and sex will eventually actually lose its power. Tim Keller says something interesting that I think is fascinating. I just want to read that to you. He says, therefore, if you have sex outside of marriage, you will have to steel yourself against sex's power to soften your heart towards another person and make you more trusting. The problem is that eventually sex will lose its covenant-making power for you, even if you one day do get married. Ironically, then, sex outside of marriage eventually works backwards, making you less able to commit and trust another person. It actually, because we're teaching ourselves to make sex less important, we're sort of, because we have to, right? Because it is becoming less important, because we're not exclusive about it. And so out of self-protection, we disconnect it. But then what happens is when we do that in marriage, sex becomes disconnected from relationship. And so I really very clearly want to say, God does not think any less of you if you've had sexual experiences. God's not judging you, in a sense of there's no hope for you anymore. But there is, and we're all products of our environment. And so as one person has one context and experience, another person has another context and experience. So we will never say, oh, people are bad or whatever. I just don't think sex is the only thing. But thinking about what can we then do? Okay, so I want to just give you three little thoughts, and then I want to pray and finish with that. But what can we do then from this moment on in sexuality, whether or not we've had experiences? Well, first of all, as I mentioned, I don't want you to feel bad, but I do want you to realize that it is possible to make a new start. It's very possible. God's grace is new every morning, Well, it's not morning anymore, but it's still new. It's still working for you. So when you ask God to forgive you, to cleanse you, to fill you with His Spirit, to give you a new perspective, I believe God will help you. I believe that God will empower you and God will cleanse you. And so if sex has become something else for you and you want to put it back into proper context, you can actually make a new start. However, what you need to do, and it's my second thought, is you need to invest in a new thinking. Like, one of the reasons why youth and young adults are struggling so much with sex is because they've been bombarded with a certain way of thinking. And this is the only thing they know. And so then they become Christians, or they become more serious about their faith or whatever. And so they're like, okay, I have to live differently. But now the problem is, like, I've got all these desires that are growing in me and they're out of control. And I would honestly urge you that if you sow good things in your spirit, good things will grow. And there will be temptations, absolutely true. There will always be temptations, but your temptations will start to get a more healthy and more manageable context when you find yourself investing into healthy desires. And so if you invest in your spirit and in your soul, and if you read things that are healthy for you, if you look at things that are healthy for you, if you read the Bible, what it says about sexuality and everything, you're going to find you will get more strength. And it's like a spiritual muscle that will grow and increase. And so I think that is a good thing. So invest. Make a new start. Invest in a new way of thinking. And then the last thought I want to share with you is experience the power of community. See, I said the reason why my wife is transparent, and I'm also transparent, but she's probably a little bit more transparent than I would be, which is also why it's good to have women speak in church. But the reason why is because it is important for us to then go, okay, so marriage isn't that easy, and our pastors don't have a perfect marriage. So let me talk about my experiences within a trusted context. I mean, we do it publicly. I'm not asking you to do that on Facebook or Instagram or everything. But you know what? I want to have a conversation. And you know what? Once you get into a community, you will learn a couple of things. First of all, you will learn not everybody's perfect, and people have experienced the same thing as you, which is great, because people can identify with you. By the way, even Jesus can identify with our weaknesses, because He became human. He was tempted in everything, but yet without sin. And therefore, He can identify with all of our temptations, which is amazing. But so you will find that people can identify with you. The other thing is, like, when you talk about it, the power of secrecy will break a lot of power for you. And so when you can talk about it, you can pray together, confessing your sins in a healthy context. You can pray, and you will find that you don't no longer have to, like, figure everything out on your own in the dark, but you can actually become free in a context of relationship. It's amazing. And the other thing is, you will see that it's actually possible to live a sexually pure life. Because oftentimes I think people think, and they talk about it in church, but people are not living it. Well, I can tell you it is possible to live a sexually pure life. With all the temptations and all the crap that we can experience, it is possible. But when you see other singles and other couples doing it, you will be amazed, actually. And so that will give you this encouragement to say, hey, I can do it too. Because we're filled with thoughts that we cannot, but you can. It's possible. And you can make a new start. So I hope this was encouraging. I know it's slightly personal, especially in a small setting like this. but I just think it is an important conversation to have. And it's also important to feel free to talk about it and to not have it seen as, I have to be perfect because God is perfect. But to understand, God understands weakness. And so I do not want to bash you with the Bible. I want to help you to experience a healthy sexual life in a context. And so if it helps you, great. If it's not your norm or your values, I'm not gonna set my value system on you. It's up to you to decide. But if you make Jesus Lord of your life, it's important to think about what does Jesus say. And actually, Jesus quoted this particular scripture, the two shall become one flesh, and like they will leave, and it's an exclusive thing. And so,
thank you for listening to this podcast. If you want to know more about what's going on at C3 The Hague, please follow us on Instagram. We'd love to see you on Sunday.